You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
You know, so after a year of waiting, it is finally here. You know what I'm talking about? The Olympics, right? We had to wait an extra year for the Olympics, but it's here, and I love watching the Olympics. I especially love watching those sports that I don't normally get to watch throughout the year, like handball, rugby, water polo, table tennis, archery. Like, those are fun sports to watch. During the Olympics, I don't normally watch the mainstream sports. I don't normally watch basketball or soccer or baseball, but if it's on, I'll still watch it, right? Because it's the Olympics. It's good. It's fun. That now one sport that I will break that rule is for volleyball, because if y'all know me, you know I love volleyball, so I'm always going to take the opportunity to watch that. But there's one part of the Olympics that I almost always choose not to watch: the opening ceremonies. I just usually don't care. I usually find them really boring. The artistic stuff is typically not up my alley. I just usually don't really care. But this year, because we had to wait an extra year, because when I got up and, you know, they were on at 10 in the morning on Friday and my kids got up, I'm like, all right, let's watch this together. And there was some of it that I actually really enjoyed this year. If the pictograms, the live pictograms, was really fun to watch. But there was one spot that I just didn't get. And it was a musical performance that they'd recorded different artists singing from different locations, and they spliced it together for this song to open up the Olympics. And it was the song, it was John Lennon's Imagine. Right, this obviously it's not a new song. It's from the early 70s, but I want you to listen to the lyrics of that song today. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. Imagine no possessions, I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger, a brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one. Now, I thought that was a really odd choice for the opening ceremonies of the Olympics. You know, I get the goal of the Olympics is to bring all the countries together for some healthy competition, but it's still a competition. Not only to set individuals apart as the greatest in the world, but to set countries apart as better than others, or more athletic than others, at least, right? Where we keep the medal count. We want to know which country wins. We want to determine which country is the best. So to sing, imagine there's no countries and the world will be as one, right before the countries start competing against each other to separate themselves from each other, really didn't fit in my book. You know, for me, the Olympics, they bring out my American pride. I bleed red, white, and blue over these next couple weeks. I'll be wearing my USA scarf like a stole around my house. I love the competition. Even if I already know what, you know, because it's often tape delayed, even if I know what's going to happen, I am still like right there screaming at the TV. But the discontinuity between that Imagine song and this competition has kind of stuck in my head over the past few days. And so as those lyrics were going over and over, I started to ask myself the questions, well, what would it look like to live life in peace? What would it look like if there was no greed or hunger? What would it look like for the world to be as one? I think John Lennon, I think he has the right end game in mind, but from step one, he heads directly away from the solution. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion, too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. Now hear those words and contrast them with our text from Ephesians chapter 2 today. And I'm going to encourage you to open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. And I want to get you to get in the habit of bringing your Bibles with you, whether it's, you know, the book that you can physically actually open up, or if it's your phone that you can have the app on, so that you can be highlighting things, so you can be taking notes, so that when you go home, you can reflect on His Word, on what you heard today, and then put it into practice. But if you didn't bring your Bible with you today, there are some pew Bibles in front of you, and we're on page 976. So Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse 11. Hear again those words. Remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And He came and He preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. It's pretty incredible how exactly opposite Ephesians 2 is from the words from John Lennon's song. Lennon wants us to believe that the only way the world becomes one is to get rid of all these religions and everybody just live for today. Apparently, if we live for today and we have no higher power or being dictating our lives, then we'll all come together in peace and harmony. And if enough of us jump on board, then everything will work out. But there's a problem with that. We have thousands of years of history showing that that doesn't work, right? We can't simply wish that everything would be filled with sunshine and cupcakes and then all of a sudden it magically happens. Because even if a large group of people were to decide to live that way, there's going to be someone who takes advantage of them, right? It's that original sin in us that leads us toward corruption, right? In this song, Lennon says, imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No greed, no need for greed or hunger, a brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world, right? This is the best life that Lenin wanted all of us to live, except that when he died, his estate was worth $200 million, which today would be worth about $650 million. So imagine all the people sharing all the possessions, living life together as one, while I sit on my $200 million. Right now, this is not a bash John Lennon sermon, but I want you to see that there are many people who have imagined unity, but it hasn't worked. So again, hear God's word from Ephesians 2, starting with verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus, for He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Jesus came down from heaven. He came down from having it all. He came down from His universal throne for you, For you who were once far off, you who were separated from God because of your sin, but because of the blood of Jesus, you have now been brought near. You've been brought into God's family by grace through faith. As we saw last week, Jesus himself is our peace. And this peace, it's not simply just an absence of war, but it's unity. It's well-being. It's your salvation. Not only does Jesus make peace between you and God, but he is that place in which that peace is found. He's made us one, and he's broken down this dividing wall of hostility. As Paul is writing this, there is literally a dividing wall between the Jews and the Gentiles. And just so we're clear, the word Gentile, it means non-Jewish people. So probably most of you here in this room are Gentiles. But in the temple in that day, there was literally a dividing wall that divided the Jewish Christians from the Gentile Christians, the inner Jewish court from the outer Gentile court. They couldn't worship together. But not only that, there's this disconnect between the Jews and the Gentiles. And how do we live out this faith? And it looks differently between the two. So Paul partly writes this letter as an answer to the question, well, how can these Jews and Gentiles be reconciled together? And for Paul, the answer is simple. Jesus. It's not about fulfilling the law, but it's about Jesus bringing reconciliation. Jesus comes not only to bring reconciliation between the Jews and the Gentiles, but between humanity and God. You know, today Holden was reconciled to God. He was brought near by the blood of Jesus. Jesus broke down the dividing wall of hostility through the waters of baptism. And as Paul says, as we continue in verse 18, through him, through Jesus, we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. Both Jews and Gentiles have access to God through Jesus. Jesus is our peace, and in Jesus, we find that peace. Peace with God, and then peace with each other. But maybe you're thinking, well, Pastor, look around. If Jesus is our peace, why is there hostility in the world? And not just in the world, why is there hostility within the global church? And to bring it a little closer home, not just the global church, why is there hostility between the different denominations? Why is there hostility within our own denomination? And at times, why is there hostility? Why is there frustration? Why is there disconnect here in these walls? You're right. All of those exist. And Satan loves it. He loves it when people inside the church, the global church, fight over things. Whether those things are small and insignificant or whether those are big and really important things, Satan loves it when we keep our eyes focused on those disagreements rather than putting our eyes on Jesus and fixing them on the author and perfecter of our faith. You know, Paul wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus because there were these disagreements. These disagreements, this hostility, this separation has been around since the beginning of time. So why? Well, because that peace is not yet fully realized. We long for that day when we will see that peace fully. And there will be a day in the future when Jesus will return, when he will make all things new, when he will make us as one, when there will be peace on earth, on the new earth, which will be in a couple weeks. Paul will show us what that might look like to be within the church, to work against that hostility, to work towards unity in the church. But there are people today in our community, in your circle of friends, in your families, who won't know that ultimate peace with God if Jesus were to return today. And that's what I want you to consider as you hear God's word and reflect on it this week. Who, in the people that God has placed in your life, who needs to hear about Jesus this week? Who needs that dividing wall of hostility broken down between them and God? Now, this is the main mission of the church, to grow the kingdom so that more people might know that ultimate peace with God. In the Old Testament, it was just the Israelites and a few others who God brought in, but it was mainly just the Israelites who were chosen by God, who were God's chosen people, who were in the family. But through the blood of Jesus, right, you have been brought near. You have been adopted into God's family. Jesus has made peace between you and God. But what about those in your life who are still strangers, aliens, rather than fellow citizens? Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Well, I guess it might be easy enough to imagine that, but it's not accurate. There is a heaven, and there is a hell. And there are people whom God has placed in your life who need to hear about Jesus so that they can have peace with God. So what are you waiting for? Right? It's not just about living for today. It's about living for eternity. God has placed these people in your life for a reason. So as you hear God's word, as you reflect on it this week, and as you put it into practice, may you be the person that God uses to bring someone else into the family. Invite someone to worship. Tell them or ask them what they know about Jesus. Tell them about the peace that you have with God because of what Jesus has done in your life. Go back to our text from last week from John 3:16 and Ephesians 2:8 and 9. But if there's ever a week where you would hear God's word, reflect on it, and put it into practice, and I pray that you do that every week, but if there's ever a week that you were to hear God's word, reflect on it, and put it into practice, may this be the week, because someone's eternity depends on it. Imagine all the people living together as one in Christ. Amen.